The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Father, we just thank you for this awesome scripture passage. God, we have heard of your fame. Lord, we have heard of your deeds, and we're asking that you would renew them in this day, this time. God, that as we believe and press into you, that it's not just about more power, but it's about the power of your resurrection through us to heal broken and brokenhearted people. And we're asking for the faith to be able to do that, to reach out our hands and to touch people in the name of Jesus, just like back in those days, Lord. We know that you are the same today as you were back then.
Yes, God.
And so we thank you, Lord, that power is still available to us as we walk in faith. So we're asking for more, just as we did this morning. More of you, Lord, in every single way, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a powerful scripture, isn't that? I mean, just as we're praying, isn't that what we're longing for? I mean, don't we want to see the power of God? Don't we want to see the power of Jesus? I mean, we sing these songs, nothing is impossible, break every chain, there's power in the name of Jesus, put a fire in my life that I can't control. We all want to live lives of passion and of meaning and of purpose, right? We want to see the things of God happen in our day as they did back then, don't we? I think we do. Sometimes maybe we don't, because we're afraid of what might happen, or sometimes we become so cynical that we think it's not going to happen now. But the question remains for us this morning, if we're going to take the word of God seriously, but if we're going to take this idea of faith in Jesus Christ seriously, then we're going to confront this question of, then why is there not more power? Why is there not more healings? Why is there not more miracles? Why do we seem to be so weak and ineffective? Why do things seem so dry and barren if this is truly who God is and how God works? And I want to enter into that today. And I want to enter in boldly to the feelings that we really have. Because it would be easy just to get fired up, right? We can have things that fire us up all the time, and it's easy to get fired up. But imagine that you're just trying to get yourself fired up over and over and over and over again. That can become exhausting and really isn't sustainable, to be honest with you. So I want to look just for a minute at this question of healing, of the miracles that were happening. Remember, I talked a couple weeks ago about the apostles, Peter and John, how they came into the temple, and this man who was lame from birth was healed, right? And people began to just exclaim the wonders of God and to join this movement. And they met in Solomon's colonnade, which was this large shaded area on the side of the temple courtyard. And it says in this passage that Krista read that they continued to meet there, that people were coming. And of course, word was out that there was healings happening. So people were bringing their sick. And there, obviously, there were so many people that they couldn't all even get in there. But they were lining up the sick on the way to the temple. They thought even if Peter's shadow touches them, that they would be healed. And the Lord was healing. You know, that's kind of what frustrates me and what I like about God, is that he kind of pushes it to the absurd extreme, right? I mean, I can deal with healings, all right? People are coming, they're getting healed, they're laying hands on. I can deal with that. I can deal with people looking at someone in the eye and saying, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And yes, do that. But if even the guy's shadow touches them and they're healed, now that's crazy, all right? That's the stuff of television preachers and the stuff that I don't really get into, all right? I'm like, that sounds crazy to me. How can the guy's shadow walking by just touch someone and they're healed? God, what are you talking about? You're like blowing away all of the expectations and challenging everything that I'm thinking of as a modern person trying to read this and understand this. And yet, look at the moments of honesty that are in the text as well. That people were joining them, right? But they were also afraid to join them. There was some serious fear going on. There was a lot of things going on that were keeping people from maybe fully entering into this. even as other people were. It's the reality of life. And as we've been talking about, we know that the healing happens because it happens in the power and the authority of Jesus. And as I've said before, I believe that's what marks true healing today. Is it in the power and the authority of Jesus, right? Because we know that in life, sometimes we hope we can experience this. And sometimes we will experience the opposite of this. But the question remains, what do we believe? Who do we put our trust in? There is healing that is happening that is no less miraculous than this story every day just 2 blocks from here. In Hartford Hospital, there is healing that is happening every day through men and women who dedicate themselves to learn the way that God has created us and how he has designed the human body so that they can be a part of God's healing. We should not dismiss any work of God just because it doesn't look the way we imagine it in our movie-saturated mind, but rather know that God is at work and God is healing. Amen?
Amen.
God is healing in ways that are just as miraculous. And I've seen both ends of the spectrum in Hartford Hospital, just 2 blocks from here. I've walked in and I've seen a baby on life support system in the ICU. I didn't know you were going to be here today. I was sharing that story. And I looked at this amazing machine that is like the heart for this baby, pumping blood in and out and breathing for this baby. And I saw how all the people came together and the doctors and nurses surrounded. And this baby was brought to life and lives today. That's a miracle, and I praise God. But I also sat in a room with a friend whose mother was dying. And looked at the doctor saying, this is not good. She's not going to make it. And I stood next to her in the room as they pulled life support. And she went to be with Jesus. I've seen both. But God's presence was powerful in both situations. You know why? Because God is in everything. The Psalms say, precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his faithful ones. And Isaiah tells us that sometimes the righteous are taken away by God's desire and design so they can be spared from the evil that is in this world. So there are times when God heals right away. There are times when God heals over a long period of time. There are times when God has the ultimate healing because we believe in life after death. Amen? We should understand that God does bring healing. It's the same way we need to feel about justice. There is justice now, but God is bringing full justice. There is freedom, but God is bringing full freedom. There is healing, but God is bringing full healing. For if there was no resurrection from the dead, then this wouldn't make sense. Because sometimes people die. In fact, newsflash, we're all going to die. Okay? Even if you're miraculously healed, guess what? You're going to die. There's going to come a point in your life when your life is over. And the fact that there's resurrection after life makes all the difference in the world. Because then we can celebrate that, yes, God heals. And yes, there is power. There's power to be healed, but there's power to endure. Amen? There's power to get up and walk again, but there's also power to make it through death to the other side. There is power in the name of Jesus. And 2 questions we can ask ourselves in any circumstance in life is, where is God in this? And how is God going to use this? 2 questions you can always use in any situation you're in is, you need to look for where God is. Where is God? Where do I see God in this situation? And then the 2nd question is, how is God going to use this? Because I do believe that God is in everything. That God is in everything that he has made, that he cares for all of his creation. And that means that he cares for the cities in which you live. He cares for the families in which you were born into. He cares for your friends. He cares for your life. He cares for the world. He cares for each and every country. He cares for it all. And he can because he's God. I get worn out with just the people I care for. God cares for everybody. He can hold all. God is in everything. Where do you see God at work? How is God going to use it? See, those questions lead us into a place I want to talk about today, a place of true trust in God, where we realize the things that God can do versus the things that we can do and can't do, where we begin to see that putting our trust in God is the place where we need to put it and not into anything else, where we can begin to pay attention. Using those questions will help us pay attention to the presence of God that is in our lives. So let me go on with the story and tell you what happened in every situation that illustrates God's power, God's authority versus what humans can do and the limited authority that we have. So it goes on to say that after all of this is happening, this beautiful picture of healing and restoration, that the leaders of the Jewish religion at that time, the high priest and his associates and the elders of Israel and the religious leaders, they were part of a group called the Sadducees that says that they were jealous. They got jealous of what was happening, and they just were so mad that they grabbed all of the apostles and they put them in jail. Okay? Real life. Sometimes when you see the miracles of God, you can end up in jail. I don't think there's anybody here that wants to go to jail, amen? It's not anybody's plan to follow God in jail. It's not on my plan, I'm telling you, okay? That's the world that we live in. But that's what happened to them. They went to jail because these guys were jealous. So they get thrown into jail. It's the middle of the night. And then you know what happens? An angel of the Lord appears. This is so great. Comes into the jail, opens up the door, and leads them out. And then tells them, listen, you need to stand in the temple courts and tell everyone about this new life. So the next morning, the high priest, his associates, all the elders, they're going to gather together. They're going to have a meeting to discuss what's happening here, to what's going on. And they gather together for their meeting, and they're getting everything prepared. They said, all right, go get those guys down in the prison and bring them up to appear before us. And so they go down to the prison, and the guards turn, and they open the cells, but they're empty. Apparently they were asleep when the angel came. I don't know. Maybe they didn't see the angel. Maybe they were transported out of there, but I don't know. If I saw an angel leading people out, I might just have left the jail and gone home and not come back. But the jailers are there. They open up the jail. It's empty. They're like, we don't know what happened. Well, what do you mean you know what happened? We don't know. So they run back up and they tell the assembled priests and elders and leaders of Israel, the cells are empty. And they're like, what? And the captain of the guard is there. And they're like, what are you talking about? What's going on here? And things are starting to get discombobulated and uproar. And then somebody comes running in from the outside and says, those guys you put in jail. Yes, yes. They're right outside. And they're preaching about Jesus again. And all the people are listening. And at this point, these guys are pulling out their hair. They're like, what is going on? They're like, you need to bring those guys in right now. But it says that when they went out to bring them in, they were careful not to use force because they were afraid of the people. So they somehow, you know, got them to come in, gathered them, said, here, come in, come inside. And they stood before them and said, we told you by our authority, we told you not to speak in this man's name. And now you filled all of Jerusalem with this teaching. And you're determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. The authorities and powers of religion tried to exercise that authority. And Peter and all the apostles stand up and say, we have chosen to obey God and not you. We cannot stop speaking about this name. Because yes, the one that you killed, God raised to life and made him the Prince and Savior of the world, calling all of Israel to repentance so that there might be forgiveness. We will not stop proclaiming this message. And at this, the leaders became so angry that they wanted to kill them. They wanted to kill them. But then a man who was very wise, Gamaliel, stood up and he said, hold on a second. Before this gets out of hand, sends the apostles out of the room, speaks to his associates, to his colleagues. He says, listen, we need to be very careful here. This kind of thing has happened before. People have risen up and claimed to be the Messiah and tried to lead a revolt. There was Theudas, and what did he do? He got a few hundred followers, but it came to nothing. And there was a guy named Judas, you'll remember, and he led a revolt, but it came to nothing. This kind of thing happens, and yet we see it come and go and come and go. But then he says something to them very interesting. Listen, this is Acts chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. Gamaliel says, therefore, in this present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. Which is why the title of this message is, if God is in it, no one can stop it. Isn't that great? I mean, sometimes truth comes from the other side. Sometimes truth comes from an unlikely source. But this man, who was part of the group that was against, stood up and he began to realize through a word of wisdom and knowledge that here is the truth. If this is just humans' ideas, it's going to fail. Because we see human efforts come and go. We see humans who try to exercise power come and go. Come and go. Do you understand this? Have you studied history just enough to understand, right? That no government lasts forever. That no politician rules forever. That no king rules forever. That no dictator rules forever. Amen? It's not forever and ever. Whoever gets elected the next president of this United States will not be president forever. Amen. Amen. We should all say amen, right? We should all say amen. It doesn't last forever. The story also illustrates, look at this, the things that God does versus the things that we do. So the rulers put them in jail. What does God do? He releases them from jail. The elders say, don't teach in his name. They say, I'm sorry, we follow a higher law. We're going to teach in his name, right? They say, look, we're righteous, we're good. They say, no, Jesus says everyone needs to repent. They killed Jesus, but God raised him from the dead, right? Whatever your situation is today, wherever you find yourself in, you need to learn the but God, right? You need to learn that, hey, I'm struggling. I don't have a job. I can't find a job. Everything looks like everyone's against you. But God has a different word. But God has a different ending to your story. But God is still at work, amen? God is still at work in every situation that you find yourself in. God is at work. God is even at work in one of the religious leaders, because the Spirit reveals to him the truth of the situation. And he says, you need to let these men go, because if God is in it, no one can stop it. Amen? That's what we need to know. If God is in it, no one can stop it. That's what we need to know for our lives, for our church, for our community, for our nation, for our world, right? If God is in it, no one can stop it. If it's just human ideas, if it's just man-made things, if it's just things that are of this earth, and listen, that doesn't mean that they're bad. Who enjoys some good dessert in this place? Come on, raise your hand. I need to give away. You enjoy some good dessert, amen? My wife and I went out with our friends in Arizona to celebrate our anniversary a little early. We went to a place just for dessert, and there was four of us, and we went a little crazy. We ordered 8 desserts. Just because we could. I mean, we love dessert, right? You love dessert. But where are those desserts now? Biology people don't think too hard about that. Where are those desserts now? They don't last forever. They're just things of this earth. That doesn't make them bad. Well, maybe 8 desserts is bad. But one dessert doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't make things bad that they don't last forever. Things of this earth that are good will fade away. Things of this earth that are bad and are evil will certainly fade away. But the word of the Lord stands forever. And God is eternal. And the things of God will always last. And his love will last forever and ever. And his grace will last forever and ever. And his justice will last forever and ever. Who do we put our hope and our trust in? For if God is in it, no one can stop it. And then do you know what happens? Kind of the ending of this story. It says that they had the apostles brought in. They couldn't, you know, kill them, even though they wanted to. So they flogged them. But isn't it funny how we just kind of, again, walk right past that? They flogged them. Beat them. And I can imagine Dr. Luke, as he's writing this record for us in Acts, I can imagine him talking to the apostles. Just imagine that situation. Be like, then you guys were flogged? I mean, you stood up. And you presented the message to these leaders, and people were being healed, and they beat you. How did you feel about that? What were you thinking as you were beaten? Were you thinking, oh, maybe we made a mistake? Maybe God wasn't in this, because why am I being punished? What did you think as you were flogged and then released? Verses 41 and 42 of Acts chapter 5. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They left the temple rejoicing, because I've been counted worthy to suffer disgrace for the sake of the name the name that has the power and the authority. I was worthy to suffer because my Lord Jesus Christ suffered for me and for you. And I can rejoice even in sufferings. And then day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. God is in everything. In the temple courts, when they gathered for worship, they proclaimed Jesus is the Messiah. Day to day, as they went from house to house, they proclaimed Jesus is the Messiah. And they continued to operate in the power and the authority of Jesus. And it brought about miracles. And it brought about healing for people. And it brought about life change and transformation. And it brought persecution. And it brought hardships. And it brought pain and suffering. And all of it was God's. And they rejoiced that they were worthy to be following the life of Christ. I have some questions for us today. Are we ready for this?
Yeah.
Amen, sister. You are the most honest person in this room right now. Amen. That's right. We are not ready for this. We are not, but you know why we're here, sweetie? Because we're going to get ready. We're not ready yet, but we're going to get ready, okay? We're going to get ready for this. Because miracles are going to happen. I believe miracles are going to happen, but suffering is going to happen too. And hardship and persecution is going to happen. And some of us have already seen it. Some of us have seen people in this church respond a little bit to the message of God, and then the next week, persecution. And the week after that, persecution. And then a little bit of hope after that. Both are going to come. Both are going to come. Because we're following God. God is in everything. God is in everything. So the questions that we ask ourselves today is as we want to prepare for a mighty move of God. We need people here who believe in the mighty move of God. But who are prepared to say, no matter what happens, I'm going to look for God. And I'm going to ask how God is going to use this. Everything. I'm going to look for God. I'm going to ask how God is going to use this. Because we need to put our trust and our hope in God, friends. And that's what this passage reminds us of. These apostles were able to persevere because they listened to God. They obeyed God. They put their hope and their trust in God. They didn't need the approval. One would think that they might need the approval of the established religion if they were going to start something new, right? And what is the truth for us? We don't need anyone else's approval. We only need God's approval. And God's approval will be His Spirit poured out on us that we might know and see the presence of God and experience it in our lives. Amen? Amen. And we need to see that in our lives. And again, I talk about your own personal life. We need to pray and trust in God for what He's going to do in our personal lives. And I think a lot of times we're trusting in other things. Amen? But if God is in it, no one can stop it. If He's not, then it certainly will fail. And we need to pray for those things in our life, for God to be in what's going on, right? In our jobs, in our relationships, in our day-to-day life. We need to pray for God to be in it so no one can stop it. We need to pray for God to be in this church, in Hartford City Church. What we're trying to do is something different. And I want to tell you, as your pastor, the discouragements come. I read some things and talked to some people last week who said, this idea of a multi-ethnic, diverse church, it doesn't happen. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. And I'm like, really? Really? So we're trying to do something that doesn't happen very often, if ever. But then I just say, God's got to be in it, right? Because I can't do it. You can't do it. We can't do it by ourselves. People look at the city of Hartford and they say the same thing, right? Oh, Hartford's never going to get better. Hartford's never going to improve. We should just, forget about it. Because all of these things have failed. Well, yes, they do fail, right? Because they're of human origin. But if God were to be in it, oh man. If God were to be in it, if God was to be in it, then no one could stop it. Not the naysayers, not the do-gooders, not anybody. Not the dream crushers, the dream stealers, not the cynics, not the critics, not the skeptics. No one would be able to stop it. if God was in it. And we need to pray together in earnest and with the energy that God gives us, that God would be in what is renewing and restoring Hartford. And God needs to be in what Hartford City Church is doing. It was about a year ago, let me share this just personally, it was about a year ago, I was driving and I was trying to put together, you know, all the things for this church. And when you start a new church, you got to like incorporate, you got to do some legal work, you got to find out about insurance, and all this stuff that just gives me a giant headache. And I'm driving along and you got people telling you different things. I remember that situation, you're trying to work on something, maybe with your bills, your finances, you got two different people telling you two different things, and they're all the experts. So I have two different lawyers arguing back and forth through me. That's a fun thing, let me tell you. I hope you never have to have two lawyers arguing through you. But they're arguing back and forth through me, and I'm just feeling frustrated, and like, I don't know if I can do this. And I remember very clearly driving down the road, stopping at this stop sign, and I remember where it was. And as I stopped, honestly, I'm telling you, I heard the voice of God. And God said to me, do you want the church that you can build, or do you want the church that I can build? And I stopped. And I didn't answer. And I knew in that moment that if I said, I want the church I can build, that God would give it to me. That he wouldn't judge me, that no lightning bolt was going to hit me, but he would simply give me what I asked for, give me the church that I can build. I knew that he would. But as I sat with that question, I also knew that the church that he can build was going to be far better and far greater than anything I could do. And in that moment, I laid everything down and I said, God, I want the church you can build. And I share that with you because it's us together that God is going to work through. I want the church that God is going to build through us. Because if God's in us, then no one can stop it, right? But if God's not in it, then what we're doing will just last for a while and then it will fail. That's what I'm asking you to pray for with me today. Not only in your own lives, because we want to see God's beautiful restoration in each and every one of your lives. That's our vision as Hartford City Church. We also want to see God renew and restore Hartford. And that's why we've gathered together. So in our own lives, in Hartford, and in this church, we need to pray for the presence and the power of God. Amen? We need to pray for the presence and the power of God. And before I get too far, I got to share with you another thing. Yeah, you can start playing. Go ahead. I got to share with you this psalm because I believe this psalm is important. It's Psalm 146. You might want to open up to it if you got it somewhere. You might want to mark it in your electronic Bible or in your Bible where it's going to come up on the screen, right? Psalm 146, amen. There it is. You're going to want to remember this because this is a word for us today at Hartford City Church in Hartford, Connecticut, in the United States of America. Speaking inspired by the Holy Spirit, the writer of this song, boy, I wish we had the music to this song, but the writer of this song says, praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Not because things are always good, but because God is always good. Amen? We don't sing because things are always good, but we sing because God is always good. And even when I don't feel it, I sing because it reminds me of the truth that God is pulling me towards. I will praise God all my life as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. The Israelites had a saying for this. They're like, it's all horses and chariots. You know, it's all horses and chariots because when we were slaves and we had nothing, and the armies of Egypt came after us with their chariots and their horses and their spears. What happened? God drowned them in the Red Sea and destroyed all of their weapons of war and all of their military might. It's just horses and chariots. Don't trust in princes. In fact, Psalm, one of the earlier Psalms says, we do not put our trust in the horses and chariots, but in the name of the Lord our God. Do not trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. For when their spirit departs, they return to the ground. And on that very day, their plans come to nothing. But blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Friends, can you hear this? Can you hear this? And I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it plainly because I believe it's the truth. Do not put your trust in political candidates, for they cannot save you. And they cannot change one thing in this world. Only God can save you. Only God can heal. Do not put your trust in local elected politicians. Do not put your trust in bosses and supervisors and superintendents and in pastors and in leaders and in priests. Do not put your trust in human authority and power, but put your trust in God. Put your trust in God, who can save, who can heal, who has the power and the authority. Why? Verse 6, because he's the maker of heaven and earth and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. And listen to what the Lord cares about. In this day and in this time, when there's a lot of discussion, both politically and socially and culturally, about what it is that we should and shouldn't be doing, listen to the word of the Lord as it comes to the psalmist about what is on the heart of our God. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. He gives food to the hungry. He doesn't sit around and debate with us about why or why not they are poor. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. And the Lord loves the righteous. And you can be righteous today by simply receiving God's forgiveness, because he offers it to each and every one of you. So that not your own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ may be yours. The Lord watches over the foreigner. Oh, now we're getting into it, aren't we? The Lord watches over the foreigner. Let us be careful how we treat those who are foreigners in our land, because the Lord himself watches over them. And he sustains the fatherless, the orphan, and the widow. Those who've lost their most intimate family members, those who've lost the security of the provision of human relationships, God sustains them, and God cares for them, and he frustrates the way of the wicked. If you want to know God's justice, it is not equal. It leans towards the poor. God's justice leans towards the oppressed. It leans towards the outcast. It leans towards the foreigner. Amen? Because that is what God's heart is about, and that's what our heart should be about. And if God is in that, then no one can stop it. But if we're just playing around, trying to come up with ideas on how to handle these problems, because, you know, things were so different back then than they are today. I mean, really, we don't have any of these problems today, do we? No, but because there's still hunger, and because there is still homelessness, and there are still orphans, and there are still widows, and there are still those who are being oppressed, and there are still those who have been put in jail and in prison unjustly, because there are still all of those issues front and center in our lives today, more than ever, friends, we need to trust in the power and the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's all I got to say to you. That's it. God is waiting for people that will believe that, that will rise up and say, I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God and the heart of God to do what God wants to do. You know, that's our vision. Those verses are the same as Isaiah 61, which is our seed verse, our key verse. It's God's vision for the world. It's the same as what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, when he says, this is the reason that I've come, to give good news to the poor, to give sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed free. Isaiah 61, Luke 4, Psalm 146. We could go on and on. This is the heart, this is the vision of God. So let's pray, really.